A very good evening to you listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin, and welcome to the second hour of this program. And this evening, I'm glad to inform you that we have in our studio here Ambassador John Andruga Duku, the South Sudan Ambassador to China, and he is with me right now here in the studio. And this evening we are going to be looking at so many things. If you have got any question to him, our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call us on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Once again, I repeat, my guest this evening is the South Sudan Ambassador to China, Ambassador John Andruga Duku, who is with me right here. We are going to look at so many issues, the bilateral relations between Beijing and Juba. First of all, Ambassador, you are most welcome to Radio Mirror.
Sunny, thank you very much. I feel at home, and greeting to all the listeners of Radio Mirror, wherever they are. I greet you all.
And welcome back to South Sudan once again from China. Well, like after some few months.
Home is sweet.
Okay.
You will miss the home when you know you are not here. When you come home, you realize Juba is, some people think Juba is, or South Sudan is a place which is a war zone, not good, all this thing. Until you go out of this place, you realize how sweet it is to be at home.
And you begin missing the area. Okay, and we shall be finding out also more from my guest who is going to be talking to us right here. Has you will be having the chance to ask him on some of your important questions this evening. Yes, Ambassador, right away, let's begin. How do you assess the development of bilateral relations between South Sudan and China since you were appointed as Ambassador of South Sudan to China?
First of all, thank you very much once again for this opportunity. South Sudan and China has reached a new level of relationship. Our relationship with China has reached a strategic level. It is now at a very positive directions, and the two presidents, President Salva Kiir and President Xi, in their bilateral meeting recently in Beijing, has affirmed this relationship. And I want to report to the people of South Sudan that this relationship has reached highest level of cooperation between the two countries.
Okay. And could you outline some of the common interests that South Sudan and China share with regards to the current development in international trade relations?
First of all, South Sudan is a member of African Union. South Sudan is a member of East African Community. We have a very successful China-Africa Forum, which just ended on the 4th of this month. His Excellency President Salva Kiir attended this meeting with high-level delegations. And Salva Kiir participated fully in this in the roundtable discussion, where I think this the forum, which ended on the 4th of September, is the biggest gathering of African head of states in any international fora outside Africa Union meetings. Mm-hmm. Even Africa Union meetings has never been attended highly like the just ended Africa Union, the China-Africa Forum. So for us as South Sudan, our interest here is to expose opportunity of South Sudan to China, and indeed to the rest of the world, that South Sudan is a destination for investment. Some people will just say negatively that, how do you invest in a country where there's a war? Our message to the international community, and indeed to the Chinese investors, is that the war has ended in South Sudan.
Okay. Do investors believe you when you tell them that?
Yes, they believe us, and even only today, there are some already arrived in Juba. We just finished a meeting. I just came from a meeting now. So we are having a new approach to this matter. This new approach is defined within the framework of win-win approach. It is not going to be about going to China asking for sympathy, or going to China asking for grant, or going to China asking for aid or humanitarian assistance. No. We have gone to China with a clear mind that South Sudan has resources which China can benefit from, and also China has the technology which South Sudan will benefit from. So the win-win has come here that in order for us to tap the vast reservoir of our natural resources, we must focus on the two important agenda. Agenda number one, we must have infrastructures. Infrastructure means that the roads network, the 32 state of South Sudan today can only be reached by air. And not many South Sudanese can afford to fly from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So we must have roads in order to connect this. Number two, in order to attract heavy industry in South Sudan, they must have power plant. You cannot run in heavy industry with generators. So we are saying that we need to have power plant. Now, these two areas is the focus of Republic of South Sudan presentation during the China-Africa Forum.
Okay.
And I'm glad to report that it received positive feedback from China, and sooner than later, we'll move that regard. But before I give you a chance, you come in, Sunny, I must say this. Now, your listener may ask, how are you going to pay this? Because there's no free roads. Road is very expensive undertaking. How is South Sudan going to pay for this road? How will the South Sudan pay for this infrastructure and power plant? President Salva Kiir, he was very clear that this strategic resource is called oil, which we have been exporting to international markets, and then whatever we get from it, we use it. We are saying now that initially, President Salva Kiir has presented to Chinese that we should put aside 10,000 barrels of the crude oil per day going toward a special account for infrastructure development. Now, when we increase production, this percentage will increase. Therefore, this money, because the 10,000 barrels per day is actually money.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just
in form of crude oil.
Crude oil. Now, the difference between us, South Sudan, and other African countries, that whatever concession loan they take from China, they have to come back and make the taxpayer in the country generate tax revenue to pay back this loan. We in South Sudan, we are not going to burden our people with that tax payment, because this crude oil will cover the cost of this infrastructure development. Therefore, this is a positive development.
For how long will this continue?
So long as we want to develop the roads, we must put it aside, it is very increased. Because you see, Sunny, South Sudan is a very vast territory. We are having zero road network. Then with that road, Sunny, we're deceiving ourselves. There can never be development with that road. We must have roads. To even road will end the conflict among our people. Because if you travel from point A to point B, and then the culture of that particular community, you will experience it, and then you value their presence.
Right. And we shall be coming back to some of the issues of the crude oil to be paid by South Sudan. Somebody, our listeners will be asking now, why has the government of South Sudan decided to pay back the Chinese loan in terms of crude oil? Why can't you pay the cash?
We have not taken loan yet. Mm. We are saying that this crude oil will act as a security. Because, you see, we are saying China has put $60 billion US dollar for infrastructure development and other form of investment
For Africa,
for the entire Africa.
How much is South Sudan getting?
So at the moment, we wanted to slice our cake. You cannot just say that I'm here, South Sudan, give me mine. You must justify it. How we're going to get it? In 2015, the same forum took place in Johannesburg in South Africa. $60 billion was pledged. South Sudan gets zero. Why? Because South Sudan was perceived to be in the war, therefore such it cannot focus on the road infrastructure development and other investment. Ethiopia benefit from it. Today you see that the road, the railway from Djibouti to Addis Ababa is benefit of that arrangement. You see railway
Kenya also.
Kenya from Mombasa now reach Naivasha. Look at see the highway in Nairobi itself develop. Look at the highway within Ethiopia itself. Look at Rwanda, what they develop. I can mention, go on and on. Even some power plant, even there's what they call an industrial park, which is now being developed in Ethiopia. These are all benefit of this funding. But we as South Sudan, we have told Chinese and told the rest of Africa that we did not get funding in 2015. It is high time South Sudan be given special consideration as a peace dividend to our people. Because Africa Union has pronounced that year 2020 is a year where the gun must be silent in Africa. South Sudan, President Salva Kiir has announced in Africa Union meeting last time that year 2018 is the year where the conflict in South Sudan must end. I can say now the signing of the final revitalized agreement is a clear indicator that we are moving that direction. Therefore, we are urging through this radio broadcast, Radio Mireya, brothers and sisters in South Sudan who are still skeptical about this peace agreement, let us all embrace this peace agreement. Better half glass and empty glass. So this agreement, which has been revitalized, is not perfect, but it's better than the war. The ordinary citizen of South Sudan is not interested anymore in war. Gun cannot develop this country. Bullet cannot develop this country. But if we silence the gun, we embark in engaging partners in China and other countries in the global world, those who are willing to change the narratives, not sing the song of humanitarian assistance. Humanitarian assistance cannot develop this country, Sani. Right. We must move away from humanitarian assistance to the recovery and stabilization.
Right. Yes, Ambassador, just to take you back to the just recently China held the African Forum for China Cooperation in South Sudan was also well represented, like you said, by high level delegation that was led by President Salva Kiir Mayardit. What did South Sudan gain from this forum?
I already mentioned to you that this forum is where Africans meet with China, agree on what need to be done.
Yeah, for South Sudan, what do
for you South Sudan, our gain is we have bring focus to our priority area, that is infrastructure development, and then power plant. This 60 billion China has pledged, we will get share from it, but then each African countries, we have to come up with their priority area. For us, as I said in the beginning, we don't want to go with the hundred of lists of things that we wanted to engage China on. Mm. We focus on these two important agenda. We say
the infrastructure and the power plant.
And power plant. Because we believe 100% that these two projects, when it take off from the ground, it will open opportunity for other opportunities. Like, for example, when you have roads network, you will open up the vast agricultural land for investment. When you have roads, you'll open up opportunity for the miners to mine different kind of the resources in South Sudan. When you open up road, you also have opportunity to export our livestock. You can also have opportunity to bring tourism in the South Sudan, because South Sudan is endeavor with so many wild animal. Today we are not benefiting from all this, so we are saying that road infrastructures across the country is a priority which will unlock opportunity for other investment. So for us, that is what we are looking at it. But I say again, it is not going to be on charity basis. We are going to pay for it, and I already explained to you how we are going to pay for.
Right. And Ambassador, most importantly, the peace agreement has just been signed on the 12th of this month in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa,
yes,
after a marathon discussion and a negotiation in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. And both the government and the opposition have come up openly seeking for international support to implement the agreement. What support can China give, and is there any effort to lobby for this support through your office in Beijing?
Yes, China already is committed in the peace process. Before even the final revitalization agreement was signed, China has been funding the process of revitalization in a big way, which has not been made public to people. China has given a lot of money to support the revitalization process, and China is committed to see that the agreement is implemented. The most expensive undertaking under this agreement is the cantonment. We have urged Chinese government to step in to support the party in implementing the cantonment program within the context of permanent ceasefire. Because if you don't create cantonment, they can continue to be individuals who take law into the hand, violate the ceasefire, and then you follow the news that there has been skirmishes here and there, individuals have attacked here, some group have attacked there. Those kind of situation, to bring it to an end, we must move with the speed to create cantonment so that forces are put in area where they can be monitored. So anyone who move out of cantonment and go and attack can be held accountable for violating this ceasefire. This so critically. Why is so why important to have cantonment? Because the cost of establishing cantonment is not cheap. You need to put barracks where you put the forces in. You need to bring services such as water. You need to put tent or put prefab. You need to open roads where they can have access. These are human beings, Sunny. These are not animals you put in a zoo. These are soldiers who have family. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't have service for them, they will leave, they will desert this cantonment area, come to the big city like Juba, where they can get service. Because people...
We have seen this before.
Yeah, because you see, the thing is that sometimes we forget that somebody who is a soldier is a human being like you. Mm. Why do you have the right to have your family, and a soldier does not have the right to have his family? Or her family. For that matter, these are human beings. They have social lives like all of us. So wherever they're going to be put, we must be concerned about their well-being.
So what is the response from the Chinese government?
We are receiving positive response from China. It's not only the canton, the barracks. We need to feed the soldiers. They need to have food. They need to have clean water. So we are not saying that we need China alone to do this. I want to use this broadcast to appeal to our partners from the Western government. Let them reconsider their position, that they continuously say they are partners of Republic of South Sudan. They stand with the people of South Sudan for peace. Now, if that is what they are saying, and then it's high time that they reconsider their position, because this peace agreement is agreement for South Sudan. If this majority of the South Sudanese politicians who were in disagreement now have agreed that whether disagreement, perfect or not perfect, is the best formula for them to end the conflict, we are urging our Western partners to support this by having the political support as well as financial support for this. Because negative messages from their side only encourage those spoilers to remain resistant to this. Now, what is alternative, Sunny, to this agreement? There's no alternative. The other alternative is a war. I don't want to consider war as alternative here, because ordinary people of South Sudan does not need to hear anything about war anymore. We must end this senseless war. This war have no winner. If anything, it's people of South Sudan, the losers. We sacrifice so many people in this. So at the moment, we are urging anyone, if he claim to be a friend of South Sudan, and then they must support ending this conflict now, not tomorrow. And that means that political support for implementation, held the government accountable for what they promised they are going to do, also held opposition responsible for what they are going to do. But criticizing that, say, this agreement we're not going to work and it is not a good agreement, it is not the solution, Sunny. And yeah. We want those who are having that kind of sentiment to reconsider their position on that.
That falls back to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and now that's your role as the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the ambassadors who are deployed to these foreign countries to actually keep lobbying and sell the good image of the Republic of South Sudan. Many, many times, many analysts have actually blamed the Minister of Foreign Affairs for doing very little to clean up the image of South Sudan, given what you have known many, many times. The news you hear about South Sudan is a human rights violation, the issue of war, and many, many others. So what role can your ministry right now do in order to get more support to this country where people will be in position to enjoy the dividend of peace?
You see, when you have a boat sailing and then the captain of the boat is not able to sail to the direction which is required, it is high time the captain of that particular boat is changed. Here in this particular case, the Minister of Foreign Affairs found that the leadership at the Minister of Foreign Affairs is not directing the ministry to the right direction. That's why His Excellency President Salva Kiir brought in a new minister in the name of the Nyal Deng Nyal. Nyal, is, as we speak now, is in New York for General Assembly. While in New York, he will be holding bilateral meetings with his counterparts within African context and other member states. What we need the whole world to know is there is a window of opportunity now to consolidate peace process in South Sudan, and we must grab that opportunity, not allow it to slip out from our finger. And to do that, it does not serve any purpose for anyone to undermine the achievement gain in Addis Ababa. I want to take this opportunity to urge diplomatic missions of the countries who are still negative about this agreement to reconsider this position and urge their capitals to endorse this agreement and to instead support it and bring their influence positively so that we do the necessary reform required to prepare this country in 3 years' time to go and conduct free and fair election, so that whatever we do not achieve in the revitalization process, we can do it through reform process, which is going to happen in the future. That's what I want to say. And we are confident that this can be done if our partners take away politics and really focus on interests of our people, that is, end the conflict, give hope to people of South Sudan.
Right. You are listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin, and my guest is Ambassador John Andruga Duku, the South Sudan Ambassador to China. And this evening we are here looking at the bilateral relations between China and South Sudan, or Beijing and Juba. These are the two capitals. And he is back in Juba. And he had the privilege to come to and explain to us the role he's actually playing. Our lines will be open to you shortly, where you can call us on 091206-2079 or 091206-2950.
101 FM Radio Miraya, powered by the people, uniting the nation. Your preferred station, the voice of peace.
No one, no one like you,
Radio
Miraya,
Radio Miraya.
No one, one like you, one like you.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
A very good evening to you listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin. And right now our lines are open. You can call us and ask your question to Ambassador John Andruga Duku, who is here with me in the studio to answer your questions. And basically, he will be in position to answer all your queries. Let's begin right away from a question coming from Peter via our Twitter accounts. And the question, Ambassador, is I understand that China is willing to provide road construction plus other services to South Sudan in return to for oil exports. His question is, if oil production does not return to the full capacity as you anticipate, as soon as it is hoped, will such debts be forgiven or written off? That's from Peter.
Well, like I said in the beginning, we are starting by 10,000 barrels per day. We are already producing more than that quantity we have. So we are not saying that the whole oil quantity produced in South Sudan we are putting for infrastructure development. No. The government must run. We are going to also improve non-oil revenue collection. So this situation does not arise at all, because 10,000 barrels per day, regardless what the production is, because right now we have that quantity available. So that question does not arise.
Okay. You can also call us right now on our studio lines, 091206-2979.
Wilson Mayer here at the University of Juba.
Okay, Wilson Mayer, please ask your question.
The issue of crude oil in exchange of the construction of road in the Republic of South Sudan. People were asking at the University of Juba, students, they were asking who is the president to go and exchange the national resources of South Sudan with other countries without not consulting the national representative like parliament. Why President Kiir took that decision alone without consulting the citizen and the national parliament? So this is the question I would want to ask to you. Another question, Ambassador, is the issue of sending South Sudanese to China for international training or workshop. I was informed, and I have seen this, that the families of the people, of the citizens who are working in the Foreign Affairs Ministry in Juba, are the one now sending their kids, sons and daughters, to China. Whether education or whether training, all these things, South Sudanese, they don't have authority, or they don't have, like students of the universities, five public universities in the country, they don't have an opportunity. And if you go there and say, let me go to China, they say, no, you don't have an opportunity. So how are you going really to work hard to see into it that all the South Sudanese are sent outside to go and see other world.
Okay.
Like China. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Wilson Mayer from the University of Juba. Yes, the first question of Wilson Mayer is the decision taken by the president to unilaterally say, okay, we are going to give oil without consulting the opinions of the people of South Sudan or even their representatives at the Transitional National Legislative Assembly.
I want to thank Wilson for his question. Since he's a student from university, you should have known that the President of the Republic of South Sudan or President of any republic is mandated to take decision on behalf of us. And then that decision has to be brought, after taking it, he will bring it to the Council of Ministers and then later on take it to the Parliament, not other way around. This decision already has been, after the President came back, was submitted to the Council of Ministers, and there's an endorsement by the Council of Ministers resolution, which will be public soon to people. After that, it will be taken to Parliament for that approval, for endorsement as well. This is how the government system falls. The legislation are initiated by the executive, not other way around. Parliamentarian does not initiate this thing unless the private bills. But that's why His Excellency President Salva Kiir move with these initiatives. After coming from there, submitted to the Council of Ministers. Council of Ministers have endorsed this. Now, the next level is it will be also taken, the Parliament also will endorse it, and then it will make available as a decision of the government. But what we are saying here is, look at it this way. We are selling oil to the international market. This oil is what is making it possible to run the government in the Republic of South Sudan. What we are saying is, we have been accused by many people of mismanaging the oil resources.
Corruption.
So the president said now that road infrastructures, if we say that we sell the oil, we receive this dollar, and then later on pay the oil company, maybe somebody somewhere may decide to take some percentage out of it. So let us have this 10,000 barrel per day. Let me calculate to you, Sunny, for your listeners. 10,000 barrel per day, if you translate it into the month, that is 300,000 barrel per month.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if the month is
30 days.
Yeah. If it is 31, that means 310,000. If it's taking 31 days, depending on the month. Now, in 2 months, you have 600,000 barrel, which equivalent to the one lifting. People talk about lifting of the oil. Lifting the oil, what does that mean? It means that the tankers, the oil tankers, which take South Sudan oil to international market
from Port Sudan,
the tanker take the maximum quantity of, at the moment, the other bigger one. This one takes 600,000 barrel. So that is what is going to go to the market. And then
the crude oil will go as an independent entity, that this is only the crude oil going to China.
It will go to China for this particular purpose.
Mm-hmm. To the company.
This does not exclude other sale of oil, mm-hmm, which is going on. When the oil production increase, the percentage will increase from 10,000 maybe to 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, depending on how we increase the production.
Mm.
Even the Council of Ministers resolution has a provision that in future, if the oil production increase, the percentage of what we are going to put for infrastructure development and power plant will increase from 10,000 to the highest level, depending on our production. This already been covered there. But now coming to the training and South Sudanese going to China.
Yes,
I am the ambassador of South Sudan Republic of China. I have been there 2 months now. And what I want to say here is this. This training has been going on for years. There are some loopholes in these trainings. That's why since I arrived in China, we have introduced a new system saying that all those who have gone for training in China must file report. It's a must. It's not a choice. We are saying it is a must that they must file a report to the embassy telling us what is the experience in this training. What have they benefited in this training? Can this training continue as it is, or they have recommendation that something must be done as an adjustment? This is important for us. If we have been doing this right from the beginning, this is intended for evaluation of this. Now, coming to who goes for this training, how are they going? Let me clarify it.
So before you go to that, from the reports, have you got some reports so far that is actually agreeing with what Wilson is saying?
No, I'm saying that there are some shortcomings, I must admit. The shortcoming is not the staff of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs sending the relative. No. What happened here is that this training, when it was sent, it is distributed according to the line ministries. For example, it is not only South Sudan alone. China is bringing official from across the globes, Africa, Asia, and other and South Sudan is part of African globe. So now, if the training is about agriculture, this request will come through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, because this is the line ministry which deal with the foreign government. When that arrive through Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we have Department of Trading, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and then communicate this information to the Minister of Agriculture to identify the kind of personnel required for this. And then if it is the Minister of Information, the same will apply. Mm. Ministry of Petroleum, the same will apply.
And other ministries.
And other ministries. But I must admit, there has been an anomaly whereby certain individuals who went for this training does not belong to any ministry. And this has been discovered, and we are trying to ask our government to make sure that the ministries concerned, who are not sending staff of the ministry, we must remedy this problem. Because there's no point to pick somebody from Hela or from the neighborhood
and send him
for training
China.
Because how is going to share this experience from where? He has no jobs, he's not working, and this is not a scholarship. This is the on-job training. Exposure.
So you must be working and then you go to China. Now, Ambassador, before we pick more calls, this one takes me to the question, maybe, could you share some of your personal thoughts with our listeners on your overall assessment on the impact of the China-South Sudan relations?
I must say this, Sunny, the listener of Maria and all the citizens of South Sudan who are listening. I have been in China now almost going to 2 months and almost 3 months. Since I have been to China, we have changed the policy of South Sudan to China. First, we upgrade our relationship with China. This upgrade means China is now a strategic partner of South Sudan, and within the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we established a particular department called China's Affairs Department. This department is focusing only on affairs of China, because we need to streamline the coordination of what we are doing in China with China. Therefore, this department, which is China Department, was not existing before. It is streamlined this, and there are only two countries South Sudan has relations with them, which has a department. Number one is Sudan. Sudan has a department, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It does not fall within African region because of our long history with Sudan. Now China, because of strategic relations in South Sudan, have decided to have with China, we have a department called China's Affairs, headed by Director General. Because before I was appointed, Affairs of China was handled by Asia and Australia Department in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or Directorate, for that matter. So this illustrates the government commitment to elevated relationship. And that decision was not taken by the ministry, it's directed by the president himself, to illustrate the seriousness we are in. So that alone, plus the recent visit of the president and the engagement, I can assess to the people of South Sudan that the relationship with South Sudan and China has moved to the highest level. We need to re-engage ourselves in this and then refocus. We must align our interests with Chinese interests.
Okay. Ambassador, how do you react to this complaint that China is becoming the new sanctuary colonialist, and some analysts are reluctant to accept that China is simply cultivating good relations for the benefits of Africa?
Well, I don't buy that argument, because I did mention in the beginning of this program, the railway from Djibouti to Addis is not neocolonialism. Railway from Mombasa, now reaching Naivasha, going to Uganda, this is not neocolonialism. Road infrastructure in Rwanda, which is now almost covering the whole country, this is not neocolonialism. Now, look at the road infrastructure in Mozambique. Look at the power plant in Nigeria. Look at all those places. Why our colonial power, who has been here, are not doing it? Which roads is developed by European Union in Africa today? Which roads is being built by America. America built a road from Juba to Nimule. This road today is a disgrace. That's why we are saying that the road from Juba to Nimule must be evaluated. This is a taxpayer of the United States of America government. U.S. Embassy here should take a lead in making sure that there is a thorough evaluation. The money which was spent for this road, which is underclass road, should be evaluated. So we don't want to build road like that.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by underclass and evaluation?
Because the road is now finished within less than 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It means that the people who build this road does not follow the standard of building highway. Because you build a highway where heavy truck are going to use. Now when you see these roads...
But the road was being monitored by the government of South Sudan.
No, the American government decided to take control of this road construction, mm-hmm, and give the money to the company from Turkey, and government of Republic of South Sudan have zero decision on this. And they clearly follow this. And we want to know how much money was used in this roads. Have they used really the $700 million, which
so
they say they claim?
Does it mean that the government up now does not know how much was used on the Juba Nimule road?
The control of the money, how it is spent, is not the Minister of Roads. It is entirely company appointed by United States of America, mm-hmm, called Louis Badger, and then they contracted the Turkish company, and the money is paid without the government saying it.
Okay. Let's find out more from some of our listeners as we are almost coming to the end of this discussion. Hello, Redimire. Hello, Redimire.
Sunny Martin.
Yes.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening to you, Isaac.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes,
so much.
Isaac, only ask one question, please, because we are running short of time.
Yeah, thank you. My first question my last question.
Hello, Isaac? Hello? Yeah. Sorry, Isaac, for the network in High Cinema here. Keep trying once again. We know the bad nowadays of our network. Hello, Redmira.
Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening to you. How are you?
I'm fine. Your name?
My name is Andrew Akon.
From
Juba.
Okay.
From Juba, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew. From Juba
yeah.
Here. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, my question to Honorable, or yes, Ambassador.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. You are always talking about the construction that has been signed with the Chinas. And I don't know. You don't mention the time. When will it start, actually? We don't know. We're confused. Many people are talking about it, and we don't know. When will it start?
Okay. Thank you so much, Andrew, for your question, the beginning and the end of the projects to be embarked by Chinese. Ambassador will answer that shortly. Hello, Redimire.
Hello, Redimire.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Your name?
Paul Manuel.
Okay, from
Number Salada.
Okay, go ahead, Paul. From Juba here.
Yeah, Juba here, yeah. Thank you for giving us the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And let me talk to Ambassador. Ambassador, we have had a lot of contracts, the foreign contracts that have been given by our government, and some of them are not realistic. I want to ask, what is the problem that the government or foreign ministry is going out to bring the contract from our side and then we are not seeing it on the ground? Take, for example, like Moroccan contracts that were signed.
The Ramshell project.
Came, yes. Yeah, the Ramshell project and a lot of things, including even the power. And none of them have been implemented. What is the problem?
Okay.
Again, now the China has come back for the road construction. I'm still fearing whether will it be implemented as you have done it. Will it not be like that one of Morocco?
Okay.
Also, all the contracts, you are not giving the contract with what is called quality assurance. When you give a contract, you should have quality assurance. Let that person give you the quality of something that he's going to do.
All right.
Say that you evaluate before you give an okay to.
Okay.
If you see that quality is not matching, then you let that person say, no, what I want is this. Like Juba Nimule Road now is going up completely before less than 5 years. What was the quality assurance of that road?
Okay. Thank you so much, Paul, from Nimiratalata here in Juba. And Yes, Ambassador, yes. Let's begin with Andrew from Juba here. He want to know, because when the president was in China, he made some of these giant companies operating in around the world, and news came from there that there was a kind of a contract or a plan to build or construct the Nadapal, Torit, Juba, Terekeka, Ural, Rumbek Road. And many projects you are talking about, when do we see the actual implementation on the ground, and when does it end? Because people want to know.
I think that's a very fair question. Mm. Sandy, first of all, like I said, only last week the president has presented this thing to the Council of Ministers for approval. It was approved last week on Tuesday
during the extraordinary
Council of Ministers
before
meeting.
He left to Khartoum.
There was supposed to be ordinary meeting on Friday to ratify this decision, but it was not done because he has to go to Khartoum.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully that this Friday, if there's no extraordinary meeting within this remaining few days, then this will be ratified and then it will be published. Then that's the first step. The second step now is to actually start putting this oil available to the Chinese. Mm-hmm. Because you see, brothers.
But what the question you want to know is really, do you pay before they begin, or they have to begin and then you have some kind of a gentleman agreement that, okay, I pay you half and they begin the work?
You see, what we are saying here is this. The Chinese company called Shandong High Speed has got equipment in Juba here for the last 3 years. You can go to Gumbo, see the kind of equipment they have here. Mm-hmm. They have heavy equipment here. That time, the project did not take off because there are three parties involved. There is World Bank to take a portion from Lokichokio to Kapoeta. There's Africa Development Bank to take the portion of the road from Kapoeta to Torit. And then we have the Chinese side to take it from Juba to Torit. Mm-hmm. Now, the decision to agree on these things was interrupted because the World Bank has its own situation. Mm. Initially, they accepted it. Later on, they say this insecurity, whatever view. But then, we are saying now, here we are, we want to if they reconsider the position, they will do it, fair enough. If they cannot do it anymore, we are going to pay ourselves. That's why this 10,000 barrels is allocated to send message to anyone who wanted to listen, that we welcome international partners to help us. But in vain, they are not ready. We use our own crude oil to build this road. Now, the time frame to when it will start, it is after this process finish. Somebody asked the question before, that who gave the mandate to president to do this? Now, another question asking, when are we starting it? Government process, you cannot just announce today and tomorrow you start. There's a process need to be taken. We have not started lifting this oil yet. After the Council of Ministers resolution has been operationalized, the Ministry of Petroleum has been directed to put aside the 10,000 barrel per day. And then the Minister of Finance and the Governor of Central Bank were directed by Council of Ministers resolution to open a special account in China, where the money from this crude oil will be put. Those processes, when it's done, that's when the project will start. Because
Is there a timeline here?
I'm saying that it is as soon as possible. It will not take long. But we don't have a specific date on this. But it will be expedited. And what I want to say here is, this is not loan from China. Mm-hmm. This is what you have.
Your own money?
Yes.
In form of crude oil?
Yeah, but
to do a job for you?
Exactly.
Okay. Let's move on, because we are running sort of time. Ball from Juba here.
But you see, Ball is saying that several contracts has been done, including the one of Morocco and all those things.
And even including the one of to begin the road from Juba here to Rumbek. And we even attended a launch by the president before the war.
This came to this, the same issue. Why the Rumbek road not been constructed is something to do with, the funding. Because, see, if you don't have your money, you are depending on somebody to fund the project. The person who are funding control the time frame when the road will start. And then don't forget that there's been a mounting pressure. World Bank is a body which is controlled by Western power. They decide when to do it. You know that what the Western power decided in South Sudan. They decide that we should not have development assistance in South Sudan. They decided that they can only give humanitarian assistance.
Okay.
Now that decision has affected everything which is termed as development and construction.
Okay. So, Ambassador, we are running short of time. I wish we had enough time to discuss. But finally, through the embassy of South Sudan in China, what good things can the people of South Sudan expect in the coming months, days, or years to come?
I want to tell you that the Embassy Republic of South Sudan will take interest of South Sudan, will work with China to see that South Sudan benefit from the opportunity China is offering for the whole of the world. President Xi Jinping has a policy called Belt and Road. Mm-hmm. This Belt and Road is a shared value on the basis of win-win. The rest of Africa has gone that direction. Why are we not going that same direction? We are not shutting the door with the Western government, but we're saying that the difference between the Western government and China is that they don't interfere in internal affairs of member state, and they don't use human rights as obstacle. They don't use humanitarian assistance as excuse. Mm. And then we are saying that we want to uphold human rights.
Okay.
But we must work toward development now, not tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ambassador Andruga, for coming to our studio. And that's what we have for you this evening from me, Sunny Martin, and the rest of the teams here. Thank you so much for listening.